Com. It works.
September is slipping away as we're into yet another week. One more after this, and then we're into October. My goodness, we're almost at the end of the year, or so it seems. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, my name is, and this show is America Tonight. We zig and zag all over the place, so you just got to hang on. If you're locked in for the ride, that's good news, my friends, because we're going to talk about a lot of interesting things during this jammed hour of ATN. It's always that way, right? It's like when you go to the Internet. Pick a lane, any lane on the Internet, and there's so many. The eye candy is everywhere. And that's what the times we live in now, trying to digest those snippets of information. That's why people pick up the USA Today, because they don't have time to absorb too much all at once, so they're trying to reach out and grab, hopefully, as much as they can. So you can do that with this show. We like to think it's the best water cooler buzz in the overnight hours, because we don't just zero in on one thing and beat it to death, pound it to the ground. I don't like that, because most of us have ADD. We want to move on and circle back around, right? Left, right, or somewhere in between, I don't care what your stripes are. Have an opinion and call me, 800-259-5791, especially in these times. That's why I'm giving you the numbers at the top, 800-259-5791. I'm going to start off with this story that I saw earlier in the day that made me think, what are people processing in their minds when they see a plane coming toward them on the interstate and getting closer and closer and closer and then eventually landing? Well, the good news is, as the plane didn't take out any cars. The strange thing is, this happened on 85, for anybody who knows 85, northeast of downtown Atlanta. And it happened during rush hour. There weren't any injuries, but can you imagine the traffic? Honey, I'm going to be late tonight. I swear I'm not making this up. There is a plane in front of me on the road. And they won't let me go around the plane. So what happened was this plane, it was a small plane, was taking off. And when it took off, apparently it didn't have enough fuel, or so it seems. That's the story that I heard. So the plane had to make one of those landings that, you know, I'll just take it where I can get it. So I'll land where I have to land. And the landing happened to be on 85. And I just thought, what a peculiar thing that would be. What a story that would be to tell somebody. And because it doesn't have any tragedy attached to it, okay, boom, this little Cessna plane plops down. And geez, you know, no cars crashed into each other. Nobody was hurt in this. There was no fire. There was no injuries. It just landed. Fell from the sky, landed right in front of us, and jammed up the roads. But it would be an interesting tale that would make its way around, like the telephone game, kind of in the old barbershop days. I guarantee by the end of the day, there's a different version of that very simple story. Plane goes down, runs out of gas, has no choice. Good news is no one's hurt. Who knows what it is at the end of the day? But has anyone had that experience? I can't say I ever had that. This is a sad story, and it's a story about a cartoonist in Seattle who drew a cartoon about the Prophet Muhammad and was warned by the FBI about death threats made against her by a radical cleric with ties to Al-Qaeda. You know, when people say, well, why don't more people stand up? Why don't they take a stand? Why don't they do anything? Listen, and I'm one of those that I think people of the Muslim faith sit in the shadows far too long instead of saying, listen, this isn't us. You know, stop attacking my faith. I'm a moderate like anybody else in any other religion that might be tied to extremism. So I'm against that. I'm right there with you. Well, in the case of this cartoonist, she was a prime target of assassination. And there was no way around it. And Anwar al-Awlaki, is the guy who we know is the terror imam, who was an American and now has a massive following, wrote about, supposedly, the cartoonist, her name was, because I think she's changed her name, Molly Norris, in an English language magazine that supposedly was a publication of Al-Qaeda. Supposedly it was. So look what's happened to her. She's more than warned. She's out of her job. She's changed her name and isn't in a witness protection program. She's in hiding because they're not joking. They're not saying, hey, listen, there's this threat and who knows, geez, maybe something will happen. I mean, the FBI basically told her, you're a dead woman. You're dead. So you have to do something because you can't stay in this job. You can't be a cartoonist any longer for here without being in jeopardy of being killed. And what happened was they had no choice but to write a story about it in this Seattle Weekly and say, listen, you might have noticed that her comics aren't appearing in the paper. That's because she's not here anymore. She's being put into effect, a witness protection program, except without the government picking up the tab. And this all goes all the way back to April. Remember that controversy? The creators of South Park, they had their episode censored over the inclusion of Muhammad as a character, and that's because Matt Stone and Trey Parker, the guys who are the creators of South Park, got the death threats because the Muslim prophet was in a bear suit, and you know the FBI said you have to take this seriously pretty much to them, and now it's the same thing. This is what's happened. She did a takeoff on that and was told that this is not something you want to mess with. So it's that serious that she had to leave her job. What does that say? What does that tell you when somebody in America who's certainly using sarcasm and putting it out there as, listen, this is ridiculous, ends up having to go into hiding like the mafia is after them, worse than the mafia, because flat out being told, you're a dead woman. You thought this was funny, you put this out there, but some other people didn't think it was so funny, and they've got a fatwa on your head, so this is it. There's nothing you can do other than have private security guards, if you could afford them, to be around you the entire time. So she had no choice. I think it speaks volume about what we've been talking about here on the show. I mean, terrible, terrible for her. Unaware of what really goes on. I think people don't understand sleeper cells. They don't understand that we've had Jeff Atticott on, the terror expert. We've had other people on from the FBI. We had an FBI agent on a couple of weeks ago, former undercover FBI agent, who said there's no question, you have no idea what's really lurking out there. And nor do we want to live in that fear, I think. But you can't bury your head in the sand either. So you look at this woman who was a cartoonist, and you just shake your head and say, wow, that's awful. I mean, are we all living in Pakistan now so that you can't say anything? That's crazy. Anybody else think that's crazy? 800-259-5791. We've just barely scratched the surface. Hang with us.
You've seen our SinoFresh banner on the GCN website.
Yet your sinusitis is still a problem.
Are you waiting for your sinusitis to go away by itself?
Are you waiting for a SinoFresh discount?
Okay, here it comes.
But first, the facts.
67 other products merely treat symptoms.
And not the cause of sinus problems.
And 37 million Americans suffer from sinus distress just like you. But now many are finding relief with the only patent-protected homeopathic nasal product that antiseptically eliminates the known causes of sinusitis. SinoFresh.
Now, here's your limited-time discount offer to use SinoFresh.
Call 888-906-3636 right now for $2 off per bottle when you mention GCN. That's it. Just call 888-906-3636 and mention GCN for a $2 discount.
But hurry, this offer is only for the first 1,000 customers.
Call 888-906-3636. 888-906-3636. Call right now for $2 off per bottle.
Mention GCN.
Buy SinoFresh.com. It works.
Good day, Jim Newcomer from Midas Resources. September 20th, 2010. Gold opened this morning at 1281.40. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $13.15.19, $6.57.59 for a half ounce, or $3.28.80 for the quarter ounce. That's $13.15.19, $6.57.59, or $3.28.80.
Again, the Congressional Budget Office sounds the alarm, warning of Greek-style U.S. debt crises. CBO is drawing a parallel between U.S. economy and the Greek economic meltdown. Debt to GDP climbing to unfamiliar territory and deficits rising to unsupportable levels. Hi, Ted Anderson. The Federal Debt and Risk of Financial Crises document the CBO has published is a must-read for every American. Covering the risks of deficit spending, aging population, and rising interest rates spells economic disaster. Call today at 800-686-2237. I'll send it free. Again, call 800-686-2237. Ask for the CBO document. Call 800-686-2237.
Fight back this cold and flu season with the world's best garlic extract, Ali-C. Why Ali-C? Because it helps your body fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi. Ali-C has been scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Ali-C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Ali-C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Ali-C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Ali-C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Ali-C. For more information and to order Ali-C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 1-877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com for your Ali-C today.
America tonight, as usual, we're scatter shooting. Talking about the Seattle cartoonist and how crazy it is that she picked up on the theme of South Park and talked about the Prophet Muhammad, then was seriously notified by the FBI that, hey, no joke, lady, you got a fatwa on your head and you got to disappear. Disappear or roll the dice, but I wouldn't roll the dice. I mean, if the FBI is telling you that, you got to go on that. And she disappears on her own dime, though. Had to completely change her life. It's like somebody said to me over the weekend, you know, was that really worth it, though? She totally rips up her whole life for what? She wasn't making millions of dollars. She wasn't just going to go disappear on some island somewhere. She was kind of an up-and-comer cartoonist. Up-and-comer that she was popular. People liked her. And, you know, who knows where she could have gone. I guess certainly she could change her name and maybe continue to do what she does somewhere else, but that's pretty rough stuff, I'd have to say. All right, as we kind of rattle and roll, or shake, rattle and roll all over the place, you know, what would the show be without some kind of an update on crazy weather conditions? How about in the East Coast? They're starting to feel those waves. I was talking to my mother today, and the Jersey Shore was feeling it. So they got riptides and bigger waves. And this is Igor. That's the effects of Igor, baby. The hurricane that dumped all that rain and caused some flooding on Bermuda. Now they're talking about it'll most likely brush off Newfoundland as a tropical storm. But how it shows up in the U.S. as Bermuda is drying out is more in the scary currents. And it's, you know, and people want to play that game of chance. They want to play the game of, hey, man, this kind of, you know, big waves. This would be a good time to go out there and paddle out. And that's when crazy things happen. For example, this happened in North Carolina, but there's a 21-year-old guy who died while he was surfing because he saw the big waves and he decided, hey, Surf City, it's a great place to be. And he was pulled out of the water, sadly, on Sunday. So the high surf definitely kicked up. And then there were two other people that were just simply swept out to sea in the Caribbean, one in Puerto Rico and another in the U.S. Virgin Islands. And the Weather Service is saying, you know, look for breaking waves of 10 feet and maybe even higher, about 600 miles from the eastern tip of Long Island. And they had a high surf advisory that's still out till Tuesday morning. That's where I heard about the Jersey Shore was getting some of it. So in Bermuda, though, they really took it on the chin. 28,000 customers lost electricity on the British territory of 68,000. Whew, half the island didn't have power. Oh, that's bad. Hey, man, can I borrow a candle from you? That's awful when you have no power and if you have no backup generator. I was looking at some pictures from Bermuda, and sure enough, you see those beautiful homes just getting battered. I mean, battered by a wall of brutal water. I mean, just awful stuff. All right, we move to water close to home. When it comes to BP, it was all about the Gulf of Mexico. And, of course, the concern in the Gulf of Mexico is about the hurricanes and tropical storms, and was while the cleanup was going on. BP permanently sealed that ruptured well, and now their BP is saying that they're joining the effort. They're rejoining the effort. I think they were already part of it, to contain future subsea oil spills. So what that means is get your John Hancock out and be part of this agreement to join the marine well containment company that's headed by Exxon Mobil Corporation, right? So they're going to make it its underwater well containment equipment as well as some of the spill-tested staff available. That's what that means. We got peoples. We got people for you that you might need. And, of course, what are the other companies going to do? They have to come up with ways to prove they have got a response to oil spill containment so that if there's another blowout, they can handle it after how we were held hostage forever on the oil spill. I mean, how many – it took the company 5 months to kill the well. 5 months. It was capped back in July. And supposedly, you know, oil flowed into the water since that date. But, boy, you can't have a response that takes that long. I mean, you got to operate on 24 hours, baby, and close that sucker down. There was nothing they could do. And what does the existing equipment do to help something like that happening in the near future? And the answer is they got to do something that makes it happen faster. There's got to be a small, small window, a rapid response. And, of course, BP doesn't want that. They don't want to have to deal with cleanup and nightmarish headlines and get slammed right and left about ugly big oil and look what they're doing and look at all the oil pelicans and birds and look at the livelihoods and that have been ripped apart. Of course they don't want that because it's about money. And can't make more money when they constantly are getting these nasty headlines. Although there's a big question mark on that. Got a big deal with Russia, and I think that BP will be fine. I mean, I think they bounce back, but it's a question of what are they doing in the Gulf of Mexico. So that well's dead, but there are lots of challenges moving forward on the other side of this, too. And when I say that, you know, you've got what are the legal impacts from the spill? Who knows what happens environmentally? Who knows? what happens to the industry. I was just talking about that, the equipment and the availability of people and figuring out what they're going to do for a quicker response. I mean, who knows? That's still a question mark. When BP purchased the rights to explore for oil in 2008, right there, they had an in-house naming contest, and the winning team chose the name Macondo. And do you remember that book? I don't know how many people have read that. It's called 100 Years of Solitude. And that happened. That's after Texaco first sank an exploratory well near that same spot 50 miles out in the Gulf of Mexico, then moved on because they didn't think it was very profitable. So the Deepwater Horizon rig is done. I mean, it's officially over. But the cement sealed it, but it hasn't sealed the fate of what is carved out of there now. You know, the day and the explosion happened on the rig, they drilled the well and they were in the process of capping it, and it killed the 11 men instantly and started that what seemed like forever. I mean, did that not drag out? Was that the biggest slow motion film playing out right in front of our faces? I mean, reality times 10, looking at the restaurant people and the hotel folks and the fishermen and the workers and the drilling employees, and man, night after night, were we not playing that out? It's like I said at the top of this, if you've listened to the show, I hate beating the drum of that one thing. Oh, it's the disaster of the day. It's the topic of the day. And you always get that on talk radio, and of course, it's, you want that. You want to know what's going on. But boy, you couldn't get away from it. Of course you couldn't get away from it, because there was always some new threat. Who's not getting checks? Who's screwed for the whole summer? What's happening to the moratorium on deep water drilling? What does that mean? What does it mean for Louisiana? I mean, Louisiana lost a ton of money. Louisiana, the people in Louisiana are resilient. After everything that they've gone through, you think Katrina, you think of the various tropical storms and hurricanes they've weathered since then, the rebuilding efforts, and then what the economy is based on, the oil and gas, and how that's been shot in the foot, and now it's slowly, the poison is making its way up to the kneecap and beyond, let's say, as use of the anatomy as an analogy, and it's pretty painful. They're on crutches right now, Louisiana is, definitely, but they're fighters. Talk to the people in Mississippi. Same thing for them as well. All right, hang with us. Coming up on the flip side, a little bit of politics in the Beltway, the buzz over the Tea Party and beyond. Hang with us.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com. Or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
Tired of searching for great talk radio?
Search no more.
I just want to hear more of it.
We are the GCN Radio Network. Genesis.
Before you purchase any water filters, you should know there's a superior American-made water filtration system available. This water filter's housing is made of high-quality stainless steel, and its filters outperform all others in the industry and are the only ones that exceed EPA standards. It's a gravity-fed water filtration system requiring no electricity or plumbing. It removes chlorine, chemicals, and dangerous biological pathogens, producing quality drinking water for less than 2 cents per gallon. Plus, its filters can be cleaned up to 200 times. What is it? It's the AquaRain. Owning an AquaRain means you own the best money can buy. Learn more and see other quality emergency preparedness products at myaquarain.com. Use the GCN code and you'll receive the book, Do-It-Yourself Emergency Preparedness, absolutely free. To order, visit myaquarain.com or call 800-585-5077. That's myaquarain.com or 800-585-5077.
No one likes foreclosure. You won't say, think, or even consider foreclosure with ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. Why? Because ZeroDebtGuarantee.com guarantees to stop your foreclosure for at least 2 years with no payments, no bankruptcy, and no negotiating. Thinking loan modification? That still keeps you in default. Zero Debt in 90 days is the only proven system that keeps you in your house for as long as you want to stay, while making it possible to even get clear title to your house. No, we are not investors, bankers, attorneys, or real estate agents. We are a group of people just like you that are sick and tired of the housing crash, and we've helped thousands avoid foreclosure since 1993. Please visit our website today, ZeroDebtGuarantee.com, or call to see how we can help save you tens of thousands of dollars and save your home. Call 800-477-9256. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256. Or visit ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. Guaranteed to stop foreclosure.
If the cost of your prescriptions are getting out of control, you want to listen carefully to this. RxDrugCard.com is a simple, innovative program designed to give individuals the same purchasing power as large HMOs and insurance companies. As a member of RxDrugCard.com, you'll enjoy savings of up to 80% on all prescription medications at over 52,000 USA pharmacies, including Walmart, Walgreens, and Eckerd's. Don't risk ruining your health by using cheap, counterfeit, foreign drugs. This program provides savings on safe, genuine, FDA-approved medications. With low membership fees, unlimited use, no age or income requirements, and coverage for all pre-existing conditions, RxDrugCard.com is an absolute must for anyone who pays for their own prescriptions. Enroll today for as little as $4.50 per month at www.RxDrugCard.com and start saving immediately. RxDrugCard.com is backed by a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit RxDrugCard.com or call 888-216-2461. That's 888-216-2461.
Oh, you know, you know, you know, you know, you must have been a beautiful baby. You must have been a beautiful child. When you were only starting to go to kindergarten, I bet you drove those other childs wild. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, when it came to winning Blue River. Well, I bet you taught the other kids how. Well, I can see the judge's eyes as they handed you the prize. I bet you took the cutest bow. Yeah, you must have been a beautiful baby. Cause baby, won't you look at you now? Come on, you wanna.
All right, talking about what the buzz was on the Hill besides the Tea Party, the midterm elections, all of that stuff. Don't ask, don't tell. And the repeal debate is happening. So the outcome is, at this point, would you believe, too close to call for a key Senate vote on Tuesday on whether to begin debate on it, and they're talking about repealing it. It's interesting because this was something that came about during Clinton's administration as, you know, hey, if we don't know about it, it's all right, you know, don't ask, don't tell, and now it's the evil, the worst thing ever, and got to get rid of don't ask, don't tell because nobody cares anyway in the military, which I wonder. I mean, how much of a factor is that in the military? How much does that play out? How many people who have been incredible officers have had their lives ripped apart because of it? I know there's, of course, the key stories are always played up, but how many will it affect the other way? Because we've heard both sides of this on America Tonight. This isn't something new. This has been around for a while, of course. Remember, you still have a vote in all of this. If you don't like the person representing you, you can make the change, and all you have to do is take those feet and walk over to the polling place and actually vote. Make sure you're registered to vote. 435 House seats up, 37 Senate seats are up, and 37 governors up for grabs, too. So, hey, you've got the vote. Make sure you use it. Trust me, in other places, all you have to do is go to another country and watch the way they vote. I know I've told this story before, so I don't want to seem one of those people that keeps telling you the stories. You know, like the old guy in the rocker that you love, but he keeps telling you that same joke over and over again. You know, clunk me on the head if I start becoming that person. But you might not have heard this. I went to cover, and this was a while ago, maybe, I don't know, maybe it was 15 years ago or so. I went to cover the PRI and PANista, that's the two parties, in Mexico. With the TV crew, I went to cover the elections in Chihuahua. Man, was that a scary scene. It didn't seem scary. Yeah, it seemed okay, but then you start to look around, see a lot of the guys, a lot of the military guys with the guns, and then you realize, oh, they're stuffing the ballot box, and we're getting shots of that. Yeah, that was an uncomfortable feeling. So it was obvious that they were rigged, but that's how things are done. I asked somebody about that, not an official. I asked somebody else in the street, and they said, this is, you know, senorita, this is always pretty much what happens. Then the realization really comes home that, you know what, we don't have the gun jammed at our throat as to who to vote for, or supposedly, when the elections are clean, wink, wink, we're not having a stuffing of the ballot box. Maybe a few hanging chads, perhaps, but at least not the other. All right, Dan in Texas, you have the floor, my friend. Hello.
Welcome to the Starship Delaney with Captain Kate, entering into the most provocative subjects in this or any other universe. Blessings upon you, great captain.
Oh, thank you. Permission to come aboard.
Permission granted.
Uh-huh.
I should ask the other, it should be me asking.
It should be you asking me, and I say granted,
quite so. Well, listen, darling, did you get a hold of that person that told you in Arabic what the Quran said?
I did, and we're going to have somebody, we're going to have actually a couple of different people on in the next couple of weeks to talk about the Quran and interpretations of the Quran.
Uh-huh.
And if you, and you know this, I mean, you're right. If you look at the literal words, it's like interpreting in a different way. I will say this, it's definitely in a different way. But you know, when you have the arguments about the Old Testament and the New Testament, and I say to somebody, well, you know, I'm an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth person, and they're flabbergasted. How can you think that? An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, a death penalty. You're crazy. That's just wrong. You shouldn't be able to judge that. That's terrible. Well, in the Quran, you're right. The literal interpretation is our way or the highway, pretty much.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. One more thing about that, and then I got something else I want to do. With the Muslim world, they're always peace-loving individuals as long as they're a minority. When they become the majority, as they did in Lebanon, Christians have a hard way to go there. Same thing in Egypt. Syria used to be a Christian country. I could go on and on, but I won't. You get the gist.
Right.
It's going to happen here, and I hope you like wearing a burqa. Okay, now
you are a pessimist. Do you really think that? I got to tell you, I don't think that's happening in my lifetime.
Well,
you're hoping that. Come on, Dan.
No, babe, I wish not that for you ever. You probably are a very good-looking lady. I don't know.
And you're not wishing that for yourself. You're not wishing that for the great state of
but
Texas.
My cold, dead fingers will
there
that
you
happen.
Go. There you go. There
okay.
you go.
Me and Smith and Wesson to the last stand, baby.
There you go.
Okay, you come to my place talking blah, blah, blah. You better bring a gun.
The ammunition. As long as you got the ammunition, we'll all come down there then. You got the ammunition, we're ready.
I'm commenting on anything like that I might be listened to.
Okay,
now the politics thing. I'd like to say again, I don't know how to say this, pronounce the proper word. I would like to say again, if we all vote out the Dems, we can take control of Congress. Congress is where the money's appropriated. We can choke off Obama's agenda of spend, and quit bankrupting our children, our grandchildren, and hopefully someday our great-grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
Also, we can repeal all these edicts that he's put forward, do away with his czars, bring it back to a constitutional republic the way it was founded by the founders in the beginning, and stop all this baloney of this socialism, Marxism, communism, Obamaism, or, as I say, Muslim fundamentalism, because that's the kind of guy we got there. Anyway, you've heard from my soapbox, and I'll let you continue on with the program. Thank you so much, darling. Good
all
night,
right, Captain. Take that soapbox and shove it under your bed tonight for the night anyway, right? Everybody has a soapbox that they want to get on. Dan, thanks for the call. And you heard what Dan said there, so it's kind of a tale of two different things, talking about, obviously, not liking Obama's agenda, what's happening with the economy, the spend, needs to stop. He's right about the flip. I've said it now a ton of times here on the show that it's purely about the numbers. The numbers game is this. In the House, you need 30. In the Senate, you need 10. And then the numbers turn. And we're seeing, and I've said this, and we've heard this already on the show many times, I always invite anyone, left of left, right of right, somewhere confused, undecided, independent, doesn't want to be controlled or named or labeled by any party, conservative, Tea Party, you know, whatever you call yourself. Or maybe you don't call yourself any of those names. You just care about the country, and that's the bottom line. I mean, I'll repeat this. To me, it's about the fact that we have a democracy, thank God. And in a democracy, you have a voice. Otherwise, you wouldn't hear me on the radio. You wouldn't hear any of the people on the radio that you hear. You wouldn't have newspapers where you have editorials, although the newspapers are a dying breed, or any of the freedoms that you enjoy, whether your neighbor likes your freedoms or not when you blast your music. In another country, things would be, we know this, a lot different, which was what I was talking about in the beginning of the segment as far as voting is concerned. But what Dan's talking about there, those numbers have a chance to flip. And certainly Obama realizes that things aren't happening fast enough for even the people who elected, who felt very passionately about what he had to say, that the change was coming. And they're feeling like, wow, if change is coming, it's just too darn slow for me. And I think some of the numbers will flip. I don't know if the Senate flips completely, the House probably. And we'll see if the stampede is on. And who's next? Who's going to get trampled in the stampede? Because if it does happen, then it'll just be a blockade. And that's one thing that will happen. The spending, there won't be the spending because everything will be blocked pretty much across the board that has to do with spending money. So where Dan's saying, hopefully great-grandchildren, but then in the same breath, he's worried about we'll be wearing a burqa. I truly have to tell you, I don't believe that. I don't believe... Call me glasses half full or whatever, but I choose to think that in this great country, if things went completely 180, honestly, that's not happening. It's not happening in our lifetime. I mean, you can have your guns ready, but I don't think you're going to be pointing the guns at Islamic terrorists that are coming to take over and that it's our way of life is going to completely change. And I'm going to tell you this, no one's forcing me into a burqa, and I don't see that happening for any of the American women. But I understand the sentiment that, hey, this is crazy. Look what's going on. I mean, are we paying attention here? We don't want to get caught snoozing. We don't be asleep at the wheel. And you can feel that. You can feel that there's big concern, because why aren't certain things being put into play? Well, the answer is some things are going to start to shake up. Some things are absolutely, I think, going to change big time. What I'll be curious about, though, is he talks about the Republican Party taking over, because that's it. It's, you know, you got your two parties. And then a handful of independents, you know, get Lieberman and Charlie Crist. He's not looking good. But if he pulls off his Senate win, then he's an independent, too, that would be in Washington. But the Tea Party and all the euphoria over the primary winner in Delaware, Christine O'Donnell, in that race for the Senate there's some question marks as to, okay, so what is she about? What's this whole movement about? And is there a so-called Hatfield and McCoy's situation happening among Republicans over the conservative movement? And when that shakes out, does the Tea Party hurt or help the Republicans? There's a big question for you. Coming up, we're going to shake things up in a different direction, a little sports shorts for you.
What is a wind generator?
How can the wind produce power for a small cabin?
How can wind energy be stored and used during an emergency?
Can I assemble my own wind generator?
For answers to questions about wind power, visit windbluepower.com. Did you know the wind could provide your family with emergency power? It can with a wind generator from windbluepower.com. Learn how our amazing LightBreeze wind generator kits start charging a 12-volt battery in just 6 mile per hour wind. Or see the new Cyclone X2 dual kit featuring two wind generators on just one tower. And learn why schools and universities across the country utilize our products to teach about wind power and alternative energy at windbluepower.com. All kits qualify for a 30% IRS tax credit for residential energy efficient property. Enter coupon code RADIO for a 5% discount at windbluepower.com. That's windbluepower.com or call 800-976-0026. That's 800-976-0026.
If you're a regular listener of this station, then disaster survival is vitally important to you and your family. Long-term food storage, water filtration, emergency food preparation, and quality survival products are not just talk topics, but a way of life. We strongly believe in being prepared for any emergency. We are foodandwaterstore.com, owned and operated by people who are into emergency preparedness. And because we are preppers like you, we own and use the products we offer. You'll find quality name brand proven products like Global Sun Ovens, Wonder Mill Flour Mills, Mountain House Foods, Satchel and Berkey water filters, and many more, plus videos and articles at foodandwaterstore.com. 90% of our customers are return customers because of our low prices and excellent customer service. We still believe the customer is always right. Discover what your family needs to weather any storm at foodandwaterstore.com or call 1-877-773-7123. Foodandwaterstore.com, helping you prepare for the storms of life.
As gardeners, we can all relate.
What do you do with all of the excess food that you grow?
Freezing or canning may have been the process you've used, but the good folks at Excalibur Dehydrator have a healthy alternative to preserve the fruits of your labor. The Excalibur Dehydrator will help you preserve your fruits and vegetables quickly and easily, so you don't have to worry about premature spoiling. You can also use your Excalibur Dehydrator year-round to make delicious jerky. And the best part? The foods you dehydrate are free from excess additives, salt, and preservatives. And that's something we can all do without. To learn more and to order your very own Excalibur Dehydrator, visit drying123.com and see how the Excalibur Dehydrator can help you preserve your favorite foods.
Mention coupon code GCN and receive a free book on how to preserve your foods.
Again, that's drying123.com, drying123.com, or call 1-800-875-4254. That's 1-800-875-4254 today.
And a quick reminder that we do Nail the Score on our Thursday shows here on America Tonight. If you don't know what it is, I'll give you the thumbnail version of it. You have a chance for bragging rights and a whole bunch of prizes. All you have to do is correctly guess whatever the game of the week is in the NFL. Whoever it is, two teams playing each other, you pick one side, come up with a score. If your scoring guess is correctly, then you've nailed it, brothers and sisters. And that means you also get to really gloat and throw it in everyone's face because it's really, really tough to do. It happens in our third hour, Thursday into Friday, so it's really Friday morning for most people. Boy, what a huge game in San Francisco for a Monday nighter. If you spent any time watching this or perhaps you turned into the second half, it was for naught, for sure. I mean, you know, for good reason, actually. You spent time that was well worth it because the Saints were able to, let's say, march into San Francisco. Here's how it sounded. Here's how it ended.
What we're going to do is we're going to pick it up in the final 2 minutes. The 49ers down 8.
Inside handoff for the 5-4 to the end zone. Touchdown.
Smith can run. Smith looking, gets it in, and it is shy of the plane. The try is no good. Vernon Davis outside the plane with the ball. Roman Harper makes the tackle.
How can that not be a conversion?
You're trying to piece together all the different parts of a catch. If he's in the air over the goal line and then the second foot coming down. Okay, let's just hang here for a second. There he's got the ball and a foot and a second foot right there. So that's...
I say it's a catch.
The player controls the ball, breaks the plane in the end zone. Yep. Therefore, it is a score.
Here you go, Garrett Harley. The hero last year of the NFC Championship game and the Super Bowl victory over the Colts. Lines one up from 37 yards. Kick is on its way. Doesn't have a whole lot of leg. But it's good.
Good. Good. That's all that matters.
All right, you got to love that call. It was this very strange kick. It almost looked like a frisbee the way it was twirling. And you heard how excited they were, the Saints Network there at the tail end, the Monday Night Crew. Before that, Hartley nails the 37-yarder. It did barely flutter through the uprights. Time expires. Drew Brees set that up. Before that, you heard 30-yard completion to Colston, and the Saints spoiled the 49ers home opener 25-22. Matt mentioned it where we picked it up. Of course, as San Francisco comes up with the score, and then Vernon Davis made a close call catch at the goal line for the tying two-point conversion, and the play was initially called no good, but the 49ers challenged the ruling and won. What a crazy ending to the Monday Night Football game. It was a good ending, actually. So the defending Super Bowl champs, the Saints, are 2-0. They really had to press on their defense pretty much for most of the game, but they were able to close the deal at the end of this. Wow. You saw bits and pieces of the game, Matt. That was a good finish.
Yeah, it was. And right away at the beginning, the 49ers, they had a snap go over Alex Smith's head and ended up being a safety. They were down 9-0. It looked like the 49ers were just completely out of whack.
Right.
They come back, and they're up 14-9.
I know.
And the Saints just kept on marching down the field. It was a good battle, and I was really hoping for the 49ers because I've grown to really, really hate the Saints ever since that debacle in the NFC Championship game last year. So I'm definitely rooting against the Saints in almost every game, and it kind of pained me a little bit to watch them win again.
Yeah, that would be painful, because that was the best headline I saw, I think it was on ESPN, Breezy Night in San Francisco. And so, sure, it was a big one for New Orleans, but it's like salt in the wound, if you're a Minnesota fan, because the Vikings off to that 0-2 start, Saints off to the 2-0 start. How about the Patriots? What's going on with the Patriots? The Jets bounce back in a big way. That was one of the Sunday big games. And the Jets end up beating the Pats. The final score in that one was 28-14. Tom Brady, who now would really love to get back to the Super Bowl, even though how greedy is he has a fistful of rings, he talked about initially having a fabulous idea heading into the game. They just weren't able to really execute it. Here's what he said.
To me, it wasn't about the plays. You know, it's not about, you know, the adjustments. It's not about the schemes. I mean, the schemes are there. I mean, we had a great plan. I think part of the reason why I was frustrated because I was, you know, going into the game, I mean, I really didn't think they'd be able to stop us.
And I guess they did in the end. That's exactly what happened there. Now, another big game on the day was The Philadelphia Eagles. The Eagles should have, and they did, beat Detroit 35-32. But the score doesn't really tell you very much about it. Really what happened in this game is Michael Vick. Michael Vick says he's all right with being the backup to Kevin Cole, but you look at the way he's playing, and that dodo brain, Andy Reid, who's the coach of the Eagles, I think will stick with Cole. But I think it's a big mistake because Vic is showing something for Philadelphia. And listen, I was all over Vic with the whole dog thing and the dog fighting and all of that. But he paid his penance. At first, the fans weren't accepting, you know, for the first 10 minutes. And then when they saw that he could run or move the ball or whatever, and this, of course, was last season, now they're getting the full force of Michael Vick and seeing what he was able to do. And I think the fans will revolt if Cold comes in and they start to and they lose games with him in the pocket. Anyway, here's what Vick said afterwards.
It was just great to go out and have a chance to go out and lead the team to victory. And, you know, everybody had faith in me. I had faith in myself. And we all believed in one another that we can go down to Detroit and against a good defensive team and get it done. And, you know, it was very gratifying in the end to walk away with a victory.
Of course it was gratifying. And, you know, here's the deal. Michael Vick will be up for grabs. And next year, if the Eagles, I think, don't give him the starting job, don't sign him in, then I would say there's a good chance that Michael Vick could end up on another squad.
We'll take him in the purple.
I would think the Vikings would absolutely want him because you think of the age of Brett Favre. If it's a disappointing season for the Vikings, well, whatever happens with the Vikings, if they went to the Super Bowl and won the Super Bowl, I don't know that Brett Favre would come back after that. And if it's not a good season, I don't think he comes back. So someone like Vic would be perfect for the Vikings. The Eagles would be stupid not to, you know, not to really secure him as the number one guy. But that's exactly, I think, what Andy Reid will end up doing because Kolb is his guy. And I think he wants to give him a chance. And, okay, I get the chance thing. But when the second guy is better, then you got to go with the second guy. That's just the way it is. It might not be fair, but the better guy gets the gig. That's how it works. You know, ask Tom Brady about that. And remember the guy Tom Brady was backing up? And you remember what happened there? I think so. Yep, a Drew of another kind. Not Breeze. Let's go to Rick in Illinois. Hey, Rick.
Hello, Kate.
Hey, how are you, buddy?
Okay. Yeah, I think the Vikings ought to pick him up now if they can.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, Brett Favre is not. I mean, he's all washed up. He looks pretty sad. Throwing those interceptions. They can't move, and he don't have the arm anymore. Just try to write on his name, I think.
I don't know. I don't know that he doesn't have the arm anymore. I think, you know, if you've watched him, you know this. He always throws a lot of interceptions. Then he makes incredible plays, and he brings teams back. Even with when he was with Green Bay, that happened. And the Jets, he pumps some excitement into the Jets. And then, of course, he gets plagued by interceptions sometimes in the key moments in games. But I would say he could finish out this year.
I don't know. I think he's too far gone myself. But,
all right, so you say put a stake in him, put a fork in him. He's gone.
He's done, yeah.
He's done. Rick, we're up against it. Thanks for the call. That's your two cents, by the way. That truly is 2 cents. He says forget about Favre. But he does agree Minnesota should pick up Michael Vick. I'm going to leave you with this thought, and it applies to football, too. I use this slogan a lot. Shakespeare was the guy who said action is eloquence.
What, are you kidding me? You can't break Tom Brady's arm.
Oh, yes, I can. No more Super Bowls for that pretty boy.
USA! 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 USA.